This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 193.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with Vin Clancy, and we're talking about growth hacking and how it can help your business. But before we get to the main part of the show, just a reminder about an event that I've got coming up for you in November. So this is your year in PR. So this is my Media Planning Masterclass. It's on November the 23rd and 24th in London. That's 2017 if you're listening in the future. And it's your chance to come along for the day, spend the day with other business owners and plot out your media content for the coming year. So we'll use key dates and awareness days, and we'll also look at some of the things you've got coming up in your business to help you plan out your blog or vlog content if you have one, your email marketing content if you're doing that, your social media content, and also press opportunities. Now, based on the feedback that I had last year, I've added in a day two option this year. Now, it's not compulsory, but if you want to come along and after you've done your planning and spend a day on content creation with me, then you can do. So we'll be looking at how to write more compelling blog content. We've got a video marketing workshop. We'll also be looking at how to improve your email subject lines, your social media headers or shorts, as I like to call them, and also how to write specifically for the press. So if that sounds of interest, then do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. I'd much rather you get in touch and ask if you're sitting there or you're walking along with your dog or in the gym or whatever you're doing and you're thinking, that sounds quite interesting, but I'm not sure if it's for me. Just drop us a line at janet@janetmurray.co.uk. Haven't got any interest in having you there if it's not right for you, because I want you to have a great day. And of course, I want you to leave great feedback. So if not right for you, then it's not going to work for either of us. So do drop me a line if you're interested in coming along, but you've got some questions, and I'll link to the event in the show notes. And now on with the main part of the show. So joining me on the show today is Vin Clancy. So Vin is an expert on growth hacking, an author of a book on the topic, and an international speaker. And I almost met him in person earlier this summer when we were both speaking at Social Day in London. But we were speaking at opposite ends of the day. But I did spot him wandering around in tiger pajamas before he hit the stage. And I did also follow along on social media and see that people were absolutely blown away by his talk. So since then, I've been following his work rather obsessively. I've read his book on growth hacking, Secret Sauce, pretty much in one sitting, and listened to dozens of podcasts he's been featured on so I can learn more about how to grow my audience. So welcome to the show, Vin.
Hello, it is good to be here. I am excited.
So, might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about your story?
Sure. I was on welfare 4 years ago, living off the government, like $100 a week. I never really had a job before then, and I decided something had to change. So I decided to start an online magazine. I thought there was a gap in the market for quality written content written by young people. So I started Planet Ivy. Within 6 months, we had 300,000 visitors a month. Within 1 year, we had 1 million visitors a month. I raised a seed round of $250,000 and I came off welfare. And this was the beginning of my journey. I launched a second site, Screen Robot. That was also a content site, written content, but that was film and gaming content. I got to 1 million visitors a month in 100 days. I got into the Techstars Accelerator ahead of 1,500 other companies. I then launched a growth hacking agency. So I was getting traffic and signups for other people's companies. Then I realized that public speaking was an amazing way of getting my brand out. So quite by accident, I started doing that and ended up winning best speaker at South by Southwest B2B in 2015. And in 2016, I started a 100-day world tour, essentially spreading the gospel of growth hacking. And it was around this time I decided to do a book with a co-author, Austin Allred, which made over $100,000 in pre-orders. And that led me to move to Los Angeles, where I am right now, where I, in some form or another, run 7 companies. So it's been quite a journey. And the fuel for all of it was growth hacking, getting a lot done with very little resources.
Fantastic. So I think you've just given us the definition there, which is getting a lot done with very little resources. But can you just dig into that a little bit for those who aren't familiar with the term growth hacking?
Sure. So growth hacking is essentially a way of using innovative marketing to get a result. So it could be that you invent a referral scheme that gets your message to spread like crazy. It could be that you find a way of using a load of influencers for very little money to get a ton of exposure, which would otherwise cost you a lot. It could be that you find a way of making a competition spread really fast. So growth hacking doesn't have one definition in what it can do, but it's really as innovative as you make it. So friends of mine who had an events app, they took a picture of three of them holding a sign saying, once you found your match on Tinder, use our events app to find a venue to go to. And then they right swiped every girl in London. So they were continually getting matches and the girl would say, what's this? And they would say, this is our app for a place to go. You can download it here. And they'd send them the link in Tinder. You know, Tinder has 50 million daily users, but no one would think of it as a place to find users for your own app. So it's all about thinking outside the box.
And was that the technique that you used to grow your first venture, the online magazine?
It's a really good question. I don't think anyone's asked me that in about 100 interviews. That's brilliant. Yeah, so the first one really grew by crowdsourcing content. So we had a network of, I think, at one point, 700 people writing for us at once. There's no way we would know what would go viral. So what we did is we had 15 to 20 articles go live every single day, and they went through an editor so we could, you know, check their quality. And then we would put them out to, you know, various social networks and so on. We wouldn't know which ones would catch fire, but because we did so much, it was statistically likely one of them will. And in some form or another, we kind of had a hit somewhere, which would form hundreds or thousands, or at some points, hundreds of thousands of page views. Yeah, so it really was get a lot of content up and a percentage of it will go viral. So when people spend too long on one article, they limit themselves.
Okay, so what did you learn about viral content from that experience?
I learned that, yeah, you need a lot of different things for one thing to work. So one of my friends is Dennis Yu. He's one of the biggest guys in the paid Facebook ads game. He does, I think, the San Francisco Giants or some massive sports team. And he was saying the same thing, but for paid Facebook ads. He was like, I expect 95% of the ads I try to fail, but that, you know, in that 5% of the ads that work, I'm going to double down, triple down, quadruple down my money, and I'm going to get amazing value and very cheap clicks for that one ad that for whatever reason resonates with people. So it's all about trying lots and lots of different things. I tell this to founders all the time. You have to try a lot of things. Most things will fail, but the ones that work, you can hammer and it'll have massive results.
Wow. And were there any characteristics that kind of stuck out for you? Like, you know, this type of article tends to work, or when we post it in this way or this time, were there any sort of key things that stood out for you?
Sure. Yeah. So the article would be posted around 2 o'clock British time, which I guess was around midday New York time. I've heard that since on Instagram, that's the best time to post. But for us, it was a kind of original content. Essentially, journalism worked really well. So if we investigated something and spent a bit of time on it, like a week or so, that tended to work really well. So it's a cliche, but it's quality original content.
Okay.
Now, to a certain extent, you can scrape things from elsewhere and they'll kind of will work, but for the big hits, yeah.
And when you say investigative, what kind of topics were you looking into?
So politics, news, honestly varied so much because, you know, we had 20 articles a day. It was really varied.
Yeah. And it's really reassuring you to hear you say that, because I work with lots of people who are fairly kind of new in business. And I think often there's this perception that you get online with whatever it is that you want to sell and you just kind of post some stuff and people will come and find it. And it just doesn't work like that, does it? But I know that, I mean, I've been selling online and promoting myself online for years now. And I feel like I've just tried so many different things. I've failed at so many different things. And in each of those, I learned something new. But what do you feel it takes to succeed online nowadays? It's a very crowded space.
So to succeed online now, I really believe the key is having a secret sauce and showing up every day. So by that, I mean, you have to have a strategy for whatever platform you're trying to grow that you will grow every day and then on people who see it. So for instance, you know, at a very basic level, on Instagram, would you be using the right hashtags so that people discover you while also following the right people at the very start of your journey so that people notice you, plus doing 2 or 3 posts a day so that you're in people's face? And those sort of mechanics hold no matter what platform you're going on. So let's say you want to be big in the podcast game, you would have to hit up hundreds of podcasts and convince them to have you on and sort of be doing wall-to-wall podcasts so that a percentage of people who are listening to podcasts see you, they see you have good content, and then they come to your podcast. The funny thing about podcasts is I was speaking to someone who launched Tim Ferriss and Lewis Howell's podcast, so one of the biggest in the game, and he said, even after all this time, there's actually very little way of hacking growing a podcast other than going on other people's podcasts, because you could get, you know, 20,000 people, you know, who follow you, but they just may be like me, people who never listen to podcasts. So yeah, so you have to pick the right channel. You have to have a lot of content. So you have to be able to deliver stuff every day, and you have to have an aggressive growth strategy.
And it sounds to me like you're saying that a lot of this work is organic. So, I mean, something I've noticed in my own social media recently, I've changed things up quite a lot. I was using a year or two ago, I was using a lot of automation, but I've noticed that organic stuff works a lot better and maybe a little bit more kind of spontaneity as well in terms of the content. But I feel like you can't get away with that hard work. You just have to roll your sleeves up and you have to get on the platforms and you have to follow people and you have to talk to people and you have to be willing to put in the hours and put in the work.
Yeah, it's a relationships game. Yeah, believe me, I wish more than anyone that this stuff could be automated away, but it can't really. Yeah, you do have to build relationships with the influencers in your space. And it's one of the hardest things to show up every day and do content. Like, people look at me like I have unlimited content. It's hard for me, believe me, to show up every day in my Facebook group traffic and copy.
And I think when you're first starting out, I mean, certainly something that I've noticed is that you have to almost sometimes like twist people's arms. You have to, when you're first starting out on a platform, like get your mates to comment or get your mates' mates to comment and actually kind of tag people in. And like you say, almost be quite aggressive about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you have to turn the other cheek and, yeah, respect the people who are ahead of you in the game and, yeah, do whatever it takes to get started. So my friend was saying people like Lewis Howes, how they hustled at the very start is, you know, they went and found the people at SoundCloud and Apple who would put them on the front page, how they did it. But that was real hustle. They were like, if we made this front page, what, you know, what one thing would get us the most downloads? And that's what they did.
Mm. So can we talk about a few different platforms and just talk about some practical strategies? So I might have quite a few listeners who may, for example, just be starting on Instagram, and they might be at that frustrating stage where they've only got a couple of hundred followers and they're posting stuff and nobody's really kind of taking much notice of it. What would your advice be to somebody like that?
So we're going to make the presumption that they can get customers from Instagram. If they can't, then they shouldn't be on there. So for instance, if they're a business coach, I don't think they should focus on Instagram. But so presuming their audience are on there and they've seen others get sales on there and it's possible, I would find their one ideal user. So browse Instagram until you find the one person who will absolutely love what you're doing. Look at the hashtags they use on their posts, write them down, and follow all of their followers manually to begin with, so you actually get a feel for what type of content they're into. So you take a note. Oh, pictures outdoor seem to be doing really well. They seem to get a lot of engagement. So for whatever it is, start following their followers manually using your thumb. And yes, it's very long, but people try to automate from day one and they got a load of spam followers. So follow all their followers, look at the hashtags they're using and start to use those hashtags in your post. And then when people look back at your profile, because you got their attention, they'll see that, oh, they understand the niche we're in, and I like this sort of stuff. They would also need to be putting out 2 or 3 high-quality posts a day. So it's fine to look at other people for inspiration at the very start, just so you can look like you know what you're doing. But yeah, you have to have high-quality images that are catchy in your niche to begin with. You'd have to do that. I would look at my friend Greta's platform. It's called Hey Engage. What that can do is it will put you in comment and like pods of people who have a similar number of followers to you. So as soon as your post goes live, everyone in that pod will like and comment on your photo. this will trigger the algorithm so that it shows it to a lot of people. Instagram's algorithm says that whatever gets the most likes in the first 10 minutes will normally get shown to a lot more people. They don't want dead posts that have no engagement showing up in the feed. So using Hey Engage will give you a boost as well. And then finally, using Audience, AUDIENSE, type in your keyword in its Instagram function. It's a desktop app, and it will show you all of the influencers and start beginning relationships with them.
Right, okay. So it's about finding people who've got the kind of audiences that you want to get in front of and having conversations with them, I guess.
So it's a mixture of that stuff, which you don't really have control of, and the stuff you do, such as comment pods, following, and good content. So it's a mixture of both.
And how quickly do you think you could grow with those tactics?
1,000 to 2,000 per month, easy.
Okay. So can we talk about Twitter now then? What would your tips be on Twitter?
So Twitter is still underrated. I wouldn't see Twitter the same way you see Facebook. So Facebook is, you know, mountains of traffic if you get it right. Twitter is about one-to-one interactions that build relationships with people, which you should take offline, you know, to create proper sales with. So Twitter, a similar strategy, aggressive following plus showing up with great content every day plus influencers. And that's really the same across all platforms. Twitter has much lower engagement than Instagram, but it opens up new business opportunities. You know, the business niche is massive on Twitter, as is the tech niche, as is the news niche. You know, those three are not big on Instagram.
And for the business coaches you mentioned before, they'd be better off on Twitter.
They'd be better off than Instagram. They still need to be on Facebook, really. But there's a ton more on Twitter. It just leans slightly more to the tech startup side. General coaches.
And what's your thoughts on software? Like, I mean, I've tried Manage Flitter is one that I've tried. I've also used Social Quant, which I thought was better because Social Quant, you kind of put in your kind of keywords and the things that you're interested in, kind of finds people to follow for you that you've got a kind of similar interest. So it's not like you're just kind of randomly following anyone. What are your thoughts about those kind of tools?
Yeah, Social Quant is great. I know Mike very well. Yeah, so I've used Social Quant for a bit, really great results. Yeah, that's one of the best in the game. My friend Dan runs digitalgrowthhackers.com. That works really well as well. But as people have worked out exactly what to do, and then you pay them for the privilege rather than you trying to work it out yourself. And I think this is such a good idea to do, because really, as a business person, you should only ever be focused on building and selling product. So anything else that gets in the way is kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I've had Mike Koala on the show. I'm just trying to find the right episode, actually. And I used Social Quant and found it was episode 133, How to Grow Your Following on Twitter. And I thought Social Quant was excellent. But in fact, my growth was so quick, it was almost like quite hard to keep up with it because there was so much going on.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah, I really rate what he does.
Okay, let's move over to Facebook then. Now, the last time we spoke, I said to you that I was quite frustrated with my Facebook group. And I said, you know, the algorithm's changed and I've got 9,500 people in my Facebook group and nobody's seeing my stuff. And you pretty much said to me, look, this is your fault. This is not Facebook's fault. And you need to change what you're posting. So actually, I picked up on your tips and I've really changed up in the last week or so. I've really changed up the content in my Facebook group. And as you suggested, I've just been asking questions like, where do you live in the world? And, you know, where did you get your business name from? And I've totally changed things up because basically I was doing too much automation. And the engagement has improved absolutely massively. On my Facebook page, the engagement's always been good because I'm sharing things that I'm inviting people to give me their opinions on stuff and to tell me which artwork they like or to, I don't know, tell me which new homepage they like, my website or whatever. I've always been sort of like very much about conversation, but I realized myself that I'd completely kind of actually got a little bit lazy and resting on my laurels with Facebook and certainly Facebook groups. So yeah, what are your thoughts on what's working on Facebook at the moment?
Facebook, they've changed a little and some say it's actually a little more difficult, but the same things are going to work. Really, you need a video for every post. So I've started even just doing like a 5-second video when I'm doing a post on anything because the engagement is so much higher. You know, people, it stops people scrolling. and then they want to read. And the videos, as much as possible, should have subtitles. So it's a bit long to create, but it makes a massive difference. So generally, it's really video if you want to succeed on Facebook.
And I know you said before that Facebook groups, when it comes to growth hacking and growing a community and audience, they're really the way to go.
Yeah, so I still believe Facebook groups, if you have no budget for Facebook ads, are the number one growth strategy you should use, because you can invite all of your Facebook friends in on the first day. Then you can invite everyone by email. You know, you could export all of your LinkedIn contacts and then invite all of those. And then you can get people to invite their friends as a competition in return for you giving them a free ebook or a free webinar link. So there's so much you can do that's in your control. And everyone's on Facebook all day. So you're really going to where the heart of where people are and the heart of where they click on things, unlike things like Instagram and Snap. So I'm still bullish that Facebook groups are a massive opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, it's something I interviewed a LinkedIn expert, was on episode 185. And he talked about training the algorithm on LinkedIn, and we can get to that in a second. But that's how I kind of feel about Facebook. It's about training that algorithm that every time you post something, that people are going to engage, they're going to comment, they're going to share it, they're going to get involved. Because every time you do that, then more people see that content.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have good content that generally gets likes, comments and shares, Facebook shows your post to more people. So I'd definitely be using Facebook, and I would also be looking at LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great content marketing platform. A lot of people are moving there now because LinkedIn are pushing the feed so much. So the feed has really become powerful since Microsoft took over.
Yeah, so let's have a talk about LinkedIn then. So, I mean, I've recently, in the last, 4 to 6 weeks or so, really ramped up my LinkedIn, and I'm absolutely fascinated. First off, because everybody over there is complaining that it's too much like Facebook and it should be more like LinkedIn. But also I've noticed things like, so posts are doing really well. And I've noticed that when I post things which are just like, I don't know, I had really good hits with what's your favorite record was one, or what was the first record that you bought? Do you like your name, and how important do you think your name is in like how well you do at work or whatever? And I've noticed that the kind of stuff that I might have talked to people about on my personal Facebook is really doing well over on LinkedIn, and the sort of more professional stuff, the worky stuff, is just not kind of hitting the spot with people. What's your experience over on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I've noticed that too. It's just storytelling. It's just storytelling all day rather than the usual, here's the value post, 10 things you need to do for Instagram. So yeah, it's been really interesting. This week I'm going hard and experimenting a lot. But yeah, it's definitely a growth opportunity that I'm really leaning into, because it tells you how many people saw your post in the feed. And it's a pretty high number for most posts.
Mm. And when it comes to converting people that you connect with on LinkedIn into sales, how does that work, do you think?
So if you put a link in a status update, LinkedIn doesn't show it to as many people, just like Facebook. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is, if you're launching something, say, comment below and I'll give one free copy to someone. You know, so this is what I'm launching. You guys are going to love it. Comment below and I'll give one free copy. And then that will mean a lot of people comment, which will trigger the algorithm, which will show it to a lot of people. And then a percentage of those people will click and will buy.
Okay. And on LinkedIn, I think every time you post an external link, that's kind of penalizing you really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same on Facebook, but you kind of nullify that with the comments if it blows up.
Okay, so the last thing I wanted to talk about, we've talked about a few different platforms, was about mindset, because I've heard you interviewed on various podcasts. And what I've loved is hearing you talk about how much hard work is involved in this. And actually, if you want to succeed online and you want to be making money online, how you have to make sacrifices. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion or no, but yeah, so I haven't had a girlfriend in the last 4 years. I gave up drinking any alcohol. I still have it from time to time, but I don't do that. I pretty much do nothing. Even now, living in Los Angeles, I pretty much just spend the whole day in my apartment or with clients, working 24/7. Whatever is the thing that you like the most is the thing you shouldn't do. It could be spending time with family. It could be TV shows on Netflix. It could be seeing your friends. Like in my case, it's like partying I really like doing, so I don't. Yeah. But whatever it is, that's going to take up your time and thus your energy.
you shouldn't do it. You should be working. And the people who say you don't have to be like to be successful, they're never successful. You know, it's people like Bill Gates who said, I didn't take one day off in my 20s, not one. It's Elon Musk who said, if you work an 80-hour week, 80 to 100-hour week, and your competitor is working 40, you're just going to get twice as much done as them. Those are the people, if you must look up to someone, you know, that you should for success. And that's really what it takes. So you just need to take that and bring it to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I have problems with burnout because of it. But it's what comes in the territory.
Mm. And when it comes to growth hacking, when you talk, for example, about getting quick growth on things like Instagram, because I've been thinking about this recently because I've got my media diary coming out later in the year. So I do a media diary where we have like key awareness days and dates and that people can use to plan out their media content. It did really well last year. It was like a kind of beta test, but this year we're kind of going for it big time. And I know that I need to get out there. I need to connect with more influencers. We sold quite a lot of diaries on there last year. And I need to be kind of having these conversations and building up my relationships on there. And I find myself thinking to myself, well, do I need to be the person that's doing this? Is there a way that I can not maybe automate it, but make that process easier for myself so that I don't burn out? Or if you're doing this growth hacking thing, does it have to be you?
So you can hire a team to do parts of it, but really it's your head that needs to be on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally get you. And so get people to help you with it, but actually, you know, it's you that draws up the list of influencers and you direct where things are going and who you're going to be talking to and the conversations you're going to be having.
Yeah, you can never outsource the knowledge. So you can do it and then make a video of you doing it the first time, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or whatever, or even reaching out to people. But a big mistake a lot of founders take is, for instance, they hire social media people and they don't know how to do social media themselves.
Then
they're like, well, look, can you work out what to do? No, that's not what an intern is there for. An intern is there to learn, to get good results that the intern can take on to their own company or another job. So it's your job to show them secret sauce and show them really good stuff to make it worth their while that they work for like free or basically a small amount of money. So and also for your company, you need to know what you're doing.
I feel exactly the same about press. So often founders will, I get loads of emails, like every week I probably get about 3 emails from founders who want me to write a press release for them, for example, and I say no. So because actually I know that sending out a blanket press release to hundreds of journalists is not the best way for you to get coverage. And actually, if you want me to help you, I can help you, but actually we need to kind of have a discussion about this and we need to have a kind of strategy. But actually I think with press that if you get out there, you talk to journalists, you make those connections when you're a founder, then that means when it does come to outsource, then you know what you're doing and you can find the right person. But if you're just outsourcing things that you don't know how to do, then it can be kind of a recipe for trouble, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks so much for that. You shared a lot of value. Now, I'm going to finish up with 3 questions. So I've been asking my guests 3 questions that are doing really well for me on Instagram.
Yep.
So are you ready? So the first one is, do you like your name?
Yeah, Ving Clancy. People say it sounds like a movie star. I dig that.
It's a good name, but you changed it, didn't you?
Yeah, so Clancy is my mum's name. So yeah, I just like that name.
And was that a difficult transition to make, being somebody that was working online?
Your name is a brand. A lot of people don't understand this. So if it's hard to say or hard to name, then yeah, it works. And you know, if you're changing it, then you must think, well, what about all the old press I got? Well, throw it in the bin. You should be getting new press all the time anyway, if you're really working on something interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you're probably too young to to recognize what I'm about to say, but what was the first record that you ever bought? I doubt you probably ever bought records, did you? It was probably like...
The first record I ever bought was probably a garage record. So like I was a big fan of UK garage. It was a kind of subset of house music, I guess you'd call it. Yeah, in about 99, maybe. And we used to DJ and stuff at my friend's place in the suburbs of England where I live. So it was probably the Artful Dodger in the UK, I think.
Okay.
And
did you ever buy like cassette singles before that? Or what were we saying last time? MP3s or something?
Maybe some tapes just before they went under. I mean, I did. Yeah, like a collection of them. But I was big into taping off the radio and then Napster. So
And lastly, when's the best month to have a birthday?
It's got to be one of the summer months that people will come out.
So people will come out and celebrate with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I mean, my husband was joking with me when I said that I posted that on LinkedIn and it had massive engagement. He said, what are you going to ask next? Are you going to ask, like, what's your favorite number or something? And I was like, but people like talking about this stuff, don't they? And I'm finding it fascinating to see what people
are. Yeah. If it wins, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much. You've shared so much value. Where can we find you if we want to know more about you?
So in my Facebook group, Traffic and Copy is probably the best place. I'm on vinclancy.com, but in my Facebook group, Traffic and Copy, you get all my launches, the latest. So right now I'm launching a 3-month coaching course to teach founders everything I know about growth hacking, everything from how to make money online, how to get clients, how to automate your social media, how to become a great public speaker. I'm tying that all together in a package, which is probably going to be my last coaching course ever, because the two companies I'm working on in LA are getting me so busy. But yeah, so my course is called Vinception, and I have info about it on Traffic and Copy, which you'll find inside Facebook.
Great. We can link to all of that in the show notes. So thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? I've recently opened a Facebook group that's exclusively for podcast listeners, and you can find it at the Soulful PR Podcast Community. That's the Soulful PR Podcast Community, and I'd love to see you over there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.